Hey everybody, and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and today I'm introducing the final edition of our special podcast from our friends at Ingram Micro Canada, covering Windows Server Explained, powered by Intel Xeon. In today's edition, our usual crew of Devlin Norris from Intel and Kirk Sinclair from Microsoft are joined by two of Sinclair's co-workers, Windows Server Specialist Matt Crum and Carter Wilson. The quartet dive deep into the Azure Stack hyperconverged infrastructure, the perks of Windows Admin Center, and how Intel's Optane memory technology makes it all come together. And of course, they cover what it all means to you as a reseller, including how to build managed services on a base of Windows Server in Microsoft Azure. Definitely worth a listen. As this is the final installment of the six-part series, I'd like to take a quick moment to say thank you to the teams at Ingram Micro Canada, Intel Canada, and Microsoft Canada for both producing this series and letting us bring it to you over the last month and a half. All right, enough from me. Please give a listen to this podcast, the last in the Windows Server Explained powered by Intel Xeon series.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining Ingram Micro's Server Explained, powered by Intel Xeon. Again, as Devlin and I like to say, that is about the shortest title in the industry. You can find us at serverexplained.com. So I'm really excited today. Devlin is here again with me, so co-hosting. But I've got two Microsoft teammates of mine. We've got Matt Crum and Carter Wilson. They are subject matter experts on Windows Server. And today we're going to talk a little bit about on-prem and some really cool differentiated technology that we're starting to see emerge there. And then we're going to start to creep up in the cloud and talk a little bit around hybrid. So Matt, Carter, thanks for joining us. Again, Devlin and I are sales guys, so we're going to try and keep it simple, right? We made some jokes about that before we started recording. It's probably best. But we'll kind of talk to you guys a little bit around what's exciting around server and then how, you know, the latest Intel technology really works for the resellers to add a ton of value. So maybe to kick it off really quickly, Windows Server 2019 data center, some differentiated technology. People talk about HCI, hyperconverged infrastructure. A little bit more layman's terms or for our resellers, what are they getting out of HCI? What is the added benefit? What do they need to know?
I'll jump in there. Okay. So, you know, we really have two options now. And I know we said earlier we'll jump into hybrid, but we might as well go ahead and, kill that bird right now. And you've heard of HCI, you've heard of hyperconverged infrastructure. And with Windows Server 2019 data center, we offered up some technologies that allowed us to do that. Storage spaces direct, software-defined networking, et cetera, to help us create that hyperconverged cluster. Well, last year, late in the year, we released a new product that is available to you from Azure called Azure Stack HCI. It is a separate OS, but still has the same technology that allowed us to create hyperconverged infrastructure previously. So still storage spaces direct, Hyper-V, software-defined networking, still running on-prem, but allows me to separate out, if you will, the Windows Server workload piece. So it's truly just a hyperconverged operating system. A lot of benefits to both. I talked about those technologies, taking advantage of running that on Intel platforms. A lot of great stuff to help out businesses. Carter, you want to add anything?
Sure. So when you look at the hyperconverged landscape and kind of the, like Matt mentioned, the two paths to get there is first to kind of understand customer point of view. What's their propensity to look at cloud solutions versus on-prem solutions that really kind of drives that behavior? If they're a traditional on-premise environment, then the server data center features provide all the functionality they need. If they are an Azure subscriber today, then looking at the Azure-based solution might make more sense. But, at its heart, it is still an on-prem investment, right? Leveraging the latest and greatest technologies such as, Intel Optane Persistent Memory, can be used as a storage class memory module inside our hyperconverged clusters. So, you get the most performance from that tier because that's automatically allocated toward caching for higher performance. And then, you can leverage additional technologies on the back end for our capacity tiers, even do a multi-tiered storage solution inside the clusters, really, decide how you want to define that storage. Right. So, you know, the solutions, either flavor really provide the most benefit and performance compared to all of our other competitors in the marketplace. We can outperform, you know, any of the competitors at a reduced price simply because we don't have a lot of the additional overhead and licensing things, because data center includes all those features. So,
yeah,
you know, customers really have a broad choice to choose from when they look at how they want to deploy this technology.
Cool. And so you mentioned hardware partners obviously are at the core of this, aside from Silicon, mm-hmm. just being a key part of it. Azure Stack HCI versus just deploying Windows Server HCI functionality. Is there a difference in hardware requirements? Like,
no,
basically you're going to run on the same hardware certified solution on either side.
Yes, that's right.
So we have a criteria to meet to become what's called a certified node or a validated configuration. So we, you know, all of our hardware manufacturers, you know, apply to have a certified list, and all the major manufacturers all have multiple form factors, you know, server sizes, capacities to be on that list. So we really provide the you know, just a multitude of choice on how they wanted to deploy it. You know, with Windows Server, though, you have to be careful that it can be we'll call it a DIY approach to things. Some server administrators like to buy some off the shelf stuff and throw on a Windows Server role and you know, think that everything's going to work. And sometimes you get lucky and that works, but then there are cases where there are some issues that can arise. So we really rely on our hardware partners to provide those certified lists, and they all have them listed on their websites, on you know, all their HCI pages on what's a supported configuration. So
you bring up a good point that, you know, we talk about that certified list. You know, there are certain performance benchmarks that our manufacturers, partners must hit, right? If we, you know, we talk about the benefit of all that Intel technology, but if we're not hitting those benchmarks, it kind of goes out the window. So that's a great point that that DIY approaches may not always be the best from a performance standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And the best resources we probably have is actually our channel partners like Ingram Micro, right? Like existing resources from the HP, Lenovo, and Dell teams all available to support, you know, making sure that they get the best configuration available, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
And you guys, you'd mentioned Intel Optane a moment ago and how that can improve your overall throughput. Can you expand on that a little bit? Because I Intel Optane is still one of the best kept secrets within Intel, and it's a little complicated. I get that, because it can either be a storage device or memory, depending on how it's implemented. Right. You know, it's a whole new memory architecture. It's not NAND, right? Like you have in typical SSDs. It's not DRAM like you would have in memory. It's based on 3D XPoint, which sort of sits right between those two. So maybe, you know, if you could just expand a little bit about how you're seeing it implemented in this particular environment.
Well, when you deploy an HCI cluster, the application itself or the operating system itself is going to look at the storage across the board. And technically speaking, you don't have to have any, you could have four spinning disks and that's all you would need. And there wouldn't be much performance in that. Maybe we're looking at a long-term archive or some robo type solution. Mm-hmm. And so when you add multiple drive, you know, form factors into the server itself, it grabs the fastest performing drive and automatically moves that to the cache tier. When you've got, you know, when you got Optane persistent memory in the server, there is no option. It's going to grab that and allocate that directly toward that caching. And so when we design an HCI solution, there's some relations required, you know, such as a number of capacity, you know, cache drives to capacity, typically like 1 to 4 or 1 to 2, you know, basically one cache for every 2 storage drives. And so when you configure the servers from a, you know, the configuration perspective, it's important to understand that. So if I've got 8 drives in my capacity tier, I need, you know, at a minimum, you know, if I did 1 for every 4 drives, I would need 2 drives allocated to cache. So I would put 2 persistent memory DIMMs in the server to meet that need. Or I can boost that up based on my performance expectations. And so we have we have some calculators that are published on Azure that kind of walk through that, like how to size, how to configure caching versus capacity, and getting into my drive resiliency, and what sort of Reed-Solomon erasure coding algorithms do I want to apply to maximize that performance versus capacity expectation. So from the Optane persistent memory, it's going to be allocated to that cache tier simply based on because it's the fastest drive in the chassis, even though it's a memory stick, right?
Right.
So we can take advantage of that.
Well, and two, you know, it's I think it goes a little bit even beyond what you talked about, Carter, because it's the fastest out there. It makes things, you know, from a storage perspective, run faster. But we can run more VMs per node because of that caching, yeah. Right? We're reducing the need for that physical memory, because now we can take advantage of that the Optane SSD to be that memory for us. So, yeah, that's another great reason that you're using the Optane PMEM with it is just we can increase bandwidth, increase memory, and just really get the fastest, you know, deployment we can.
Mm-hmm. And Devlin, this is a pretty accessible price point on this,
that's
right?
Like, relatively speaking, yeah. Compared to what you would pay for, you know, 10x the amount of SSD drive, a high performance enterprise SSD drive, optimizing, you know, smaller drives potentially with Optane memory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no comparison. Mm-hmm. 512 gigs of Optane can make a massive difference to the overall performance of your system. And, you know, that comes in under $600.
That's awesome. Yeah, and, really, and we're seeing configurations getting collapsed, right?
Yeah.
Like dedicated hardware, and suddenly you're going into like a JBOD, put it in as the cache, and then you've got massive IOPS improvements.
I mean, it truly takes the term hyperconverged to the next level, because we're talking about you know, I can truly do this on a 2-node cluster. What used to take me 6, 7, 8 physical servers. It's pretty amazing.
Now, guys, this sounds complex. Whether I'm setting up HCI, or you know, I'm talking about Azure Stack HCI, or I'm looking at hybrid workloads, like this sounds pretty difficult. Do I need to be a PowerShell wizard to implement a lot of this? Like, what's the management and solution in there? Like, what do we have? Right?
It doesn't hurt to know about PowerShell, but you don't have to be at all.
Okay.
Our Windows Admin Center is our single pane of glass management solution that supports all Windows Server deployments. And with our latest build, the 2103, I believe, it adds additional improvements to our plugins and snap-in utilities. And so, when we announced the operating system, we created a cluster creation utility that drives the entire cluster creation. So I simply have to do is add these servers to my domain, go into Windows Admin Center, create the cluster. I point to the servers, then I allocate the networking for management tiers, and I create virtual networks inside this for the east-west traffic. And then when I get into storage, that's when it simply grabs that PMEM, allocates that to cache, and then I create my storage pools based off of that. None of that requires PowerShell, but it's good to understand it a little bit, I would say.
And what's the best part about Admin Center?
Right? Oh, it's free.
It's free, right? Yes. And free. It's beyond just managing, we're talking about hyperconverged, beyond just managing your Windows servers, it's your entire Windows 10 infrastructure as well. Right. So again, like Carter said, single pane of glass, it's free, browser-based. I don't have to install any agents.
Right.
It really makes it very easy to use for administrators.
On top of that, our hardware partners have all created their own extensible plugins to take advantage of this. So HPE has plugins for the server management, so you can get in and see the lifecycle of the server itself. Dell has their OME integration directly into it. HPE has the XClarity integrator. So from a server administrator's perspective, I can log into Windows Admin Center and do everything I possibly would ever want to do for those servers. Create virtual machines, create virtual networks, learn PowerShell scripting if you wanted to. Right. And then even look at the physical attributes of the servers and see how my, with System Insights, I can see how I'm performing, how my processors are performing, and my memory's performing over time. I can then create, scripts and runbooks inside there to move virtual workloads on Sunday nights over to host 2. So host 1 doesn't get overwhelmed, and I can create that truly dynamic fluid data center all through this utility.
And amazing. Not to mention, that's all we have. That's also how we, you know, bridge up to the cloud too, right? So when we, if we want to talk about hybrid, Windows Admin Center is the same tool that lets me to, maybe you don't want to move it over to another node. Maybe you need to move that workload up to the cloud. That's, you know, very easy to do with the Windows Admin Center.
Right.
Very cool. So far I've heard, if you're a reseller, make sure you look at Optane as an immediate potential performance increase, absolutely, right, on your new configuration. And then if you're not using Windows Admin Center, you're probably missing out on
you're making it too complicated.
Yeah, I like that.
Good. I mean, go back to PowerShell if you don't use Windows Admin Center.
Thank you. No, I'll take a GUI over PowerShell any day of the week.
It's
right?
So much easier. If you ever tried to deploy, you know, I'll call it Storage Spaces Direct, and Server 2016 was all PowerShell driven. With Windows Admin Center, it put a UI in front of it, and you know, you can even manage just core OS implementation. So, yeah, you know, I got a Hyper-V server running nothing but the Windows Server core install. I can plug that into Windows Admin Center and get the same functionality as I would if I was logging into the desktop. So there's no trade-off dependent on, you know, the operating system you want to deploy, which makes it nice.
That's awesome. Now, Matt, you mentioned hybrid, and I kind of said we were going to cover that. And Windows Admin Center is your portal for your on-premise servers to go there. Now, we are the OEM team, the three of us, and Devlin also supports on-premise and infrastructure hardware. So we don't necessarily look to fully take our workloads up into Azure. But
sure,
if we are partners with HP, Lenovo, and Dell, and the resellers interested in selling on-premise infrastructure, like, what's the workloads that they should be looking at to start to introduce hybrid? Like, let's say the customer says, I want to be in the cloud, but they're not sure what that means. And, you know, sometimes customers just want to start their cloud journey. What workloads should they look at? You know, what can we use Windows Admin Center for?
Sure. So anything that, you know, that I first jumps out of me is anything that requires, you know, highly intensive reads and writes. So maybe there's a SQL database script that needs to run, you know, once a week, right? And instead of increasing the amount of hardware I have, I can just, you know, maybe move that workload up to the cloud for that. But maybe it's even simpler. Maybe it's things like backups or disaster recovery with things like Azure Site Recovery. Those are just a couple of key areas that, you know, end users can take advantage of in the cloud, but without having to, you know, gosh, I remember the old days where if I wanted to back up my data, I had an old tape drive that would take, you know, it would run overnight, and hopefully my backup didn't fail so that if I had to recover the next day, you know, it would be there. But now I can do that up in the cloud. Or maybe it's just migrating data, taking advantage of, you know, Azure to migrate data from one server to another, from one site to another, without having to, you know, do that physical copy in the background. A lot of great ways to take advantage of the cloud without actually moving everything into the cloud.
Right. And, you know, the other thing is a lot of companies probably have that experience today if they're running like Azure Active Directory. So doing Active Directory synchronization up to the cloud for a single sign-on, maybe for, you know, app dev purposes or something. So a lot of them may already be kind of dabbling in that a little bit. You know, Windows Admin Center makes the plugins very easy to deploy at scale. So
yeah, and I'll just add too, you know, the fact that it's hybrid means I can do it on an as-needed basis. I'm not tied into any type of long-term, you know, agreement, whatever it may be. It's just, hey, you know, I got this workload I need to run. I'm going to do it up in Azure instead of running it on-prem. I think that's just a great benefit.
Yeah, I love that. You know, if you just need a little extra storage, networking, like whatever the case is, then it's there, and Windows Admin kind of connects it in there. So that's really exciting. Yeah.
And the other one last point, kind of in the app dev space, is developers can now develop apps that live in Azure but talk to resources in an on-prem state. So Matt mentioned SQL. If I create a SQL query utility up in Azure, but my SQL database is on, you know, a 10 terabyte server in my data center that's simply too cost effective to move to a cloud solution, I can leave it there and then I can point to it using my Azure based application. So you really do get the best of both worlds in that perspective.
That's awesome. And I think that ties in really well to what I was going to say, which is more of a sales angle. So for the resellers, the opportunity with Azure is you can get an ongoing consumption or subscription motion with your customer. Mm-hmm. So rather than having that, you know, we always talk about this one, right, on the client side, rather than just having that CapEx, you now have an ongoing OpEx experience with that customer. If you're doing right. any kind of services, Windows Admin Center allows you to manage the health of that. And there comes a point when you're looking at somebody who's running a 2012 server on some, you know, 4-generation-old server that's really due, or, you know, heaven forbid you find a Windows Server 2008 workload, you're like, get rid of that, right? So that's right. an opportunity. Try and build in a little bit of that Azure subscription, and then you just build your managed service practice on top of that, because you've got a really clear revenue stream and a requirement for your customer to kind of keep on checking in with you.
Right.
And you know, to that point, Kirk, I mean, I know a lot of resellers who fit that profile that are running 5-year-old, 6-year-old servers. And there's this whole idea, well, if it still runs, it's good enough. But you owe it to yourself to look at 3rd-generation Xeon-based platforms at this point, because there's such a dramatic difference, not just in overall performance, but it really is designed with cloud optimization in mind. It allows you to run more VMs in a far more efficient and secure way than that older system that you're running today. So, you know, reach out to your Ingram account team, start talking about potentially system migration with HP, with Lenovo, with whomever, with the 3rd-gen. I mean, it's still early days and the products are still rolling out, but it really is dramatically different from a 2nd-generation Xeon.
I love that. Total cost of ownership could be a big consideration Absolutely. In your refresh. I think other exciting thing, storage space is direct, and the other capabilities within our data center edition really kind of shrink the footprint in the data center too, right? Mm-hmm. Before you would take an entire stack. Now, you know, if you're doing co-loc, maybe you're only taking half a stack. Maybe you're only cooling half a stack, consuming there that amount of power.
Energy, right?
And Devlin, you're bringing more efficient horsepower with Intel's latest generation. I think that's the real equation that the resellers need to kick in. And again, Ingram's a great partner, and that's why they're supporting us with Server Explained. So I think that's an opportunity. If you want to talk refresh, reach out to your Ingram rep and make sure that they understand, you know, what you're looking for and how they can support you. Gentlemen, I think we pretty much ran the gambit. Anything else you want to throw out there? Any final words, Carter and Matt?
I was going to add, you know, you brought up a good point. There are a lot of old servers out there. I think Devlin said, you know, a lot of, you know, there's those 6-7-year-old. We've seen them even older because even 10 years ago, servers were more efficient than they were 10 years previous to that. You know, they sit in the closet in a lot of places and they just sit there and consume, you know, energy. Things are more efficient. Yeah, go ahead.
This idea of good enough computing, I mean, it's the bane of our existence. And, right. and it just isn't. You have to look at what's available today. You're right. It might have been better than the 20-year-old system you had. You refreshed 10 years ago. But you really owe it to yourself to look at what's out today. Because
right.
We are optimizing for a whole new workload and a whole new set of priorities than were even thought of 10 years ago when those systems were developed.
And I think it goes beyond that. And we could have a whole other discussion about this, but security, right?
Right.
Think about, I mean, just the security enhancements we've seen over the last 10 years, both from a physical hardware and an OS perspective. So if those,
I mean,
those old servers
are
out
sensitive to that at Intel. I mean, we've taken a lot of those security elements out of software and brought them right into right into the platform, right into the hardware. Right. That's a good point. And that can really ruin your day.
I say that a lot of the innovations in security were written in blood, meaning something bad happened to get this sort of shift. And so with 2019 and even Windows Server 2022, we've seen such a focus on security. Everything is driving toward a more secure work environment. And if you're buying new hardware with 3rd-generation, you know, Intel Xeon processors and Optane persistent memory and you name it, and you're putting a 10-year-old operating system that wasn't written when those products were even, you know, thought of, you're handicapping the server from the get-go.
Correct. Yep.
So it's
we work very closely with Microsoft. I mean, you know, we're working
the old gas in.
You know, we're working really closely with you guys to optimize the features within the CPU and in your software. It's hand in glove.
Right.
Yeah. Love it. So again, we've got Intel Optane Persistent Memory Gen 3 Xeon, Windows Server 2019 Data Center for now, with HCI, and then Windows Admin Center, really bringing it all together to manage your entire ecosystem for whatever you're going to do. But look into that. If you need support, Ingram team is obviously here. So they've got resources on each of the lines. We've got Intel resources, Microsoft resources, Azure Cloud resources. So you have the capability really to build a very cool solution for your customers and show them total cost of ownership, like additional value prop. Like there's so much wrapped real up value in the solution that we can really land. Yep. You know, we just need you, the reseller community, to kind of lean in and embrace some of this and listen to some of the other sessions where we've got some of our great hardware partners coming in and telling you what they're all about. And they'll point you in the right direction for what specific capacities and solutions that they have that you can offer up. So gentlemen, I think we're at time. Thanks a lot for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
All right, everybody. Yeah, thank you, Mark. Awesome. Thanks. So thanks for joining into Server Explained on serverexplained.com. And this has been Windows Server Explained, powered by Intel Xeon.